on back on the 31st. So he's had three games played. He had seven innings pitched, six strikeouts, allowing eight hits and three runs. Faulkner. So, two outs. After his lead on hits, 8-7. So, Faulkner has experience against the Rafters before. He came in and did some work on the mound in Green Bay at Capital Credit Union Park. He got a wicked sidearm, and Brandon Rogers will do it. So, Logan Hugo is going to take the place of Duffy on first. And Hugo hasn't seen action today. He put in as a pinch runner. So Rogers heading towards the right-handed batter's box. So Hugo at first and Ty Johnson at second. So here we go. Brandon Rogers will step in. Bottom of the eighth inning. Rafters lead 3-1. There's two down. As Faulkner will come set, digs in really low and delivers a pitch inside for a ball 1-0. And before he pitches, he gets really low to the ground. Has a sidearm and comes in as two outs here. Faulkner digs in low, delivers the 1-0 way outside as Hernandez able to reach out to his right and make that catch. If that goes behind him, sure enough, Johnson has taken third, possibly getting home. So two balls and no strikes. Jacob Faulkner plays in the Ivy League for Princeton. Faulkner sets the 2-0. Rogers fouled on the right side. 2-1. Rogers, the right fielder, he's 2-for-3 today. He's gotten on base on every time he's been up. Base hit, a walk, and also another base hit. So Faulkner delivers a 2-1 way up and outside for the third ball. So three balls and a strike. Ball came in at 70 miles per hour, and Rogers up in the count. Two outs, two runners on. Brandon Rogers digs in the windup, the 3-1. Swing and a drive. That goes past the second fielder and Brady Miguel. Rounding third is Johnson. Getting to third is Hugo. And the Rafters go up 4-1 here in the bottom of the eighth. Just what was in store for Brandon Rogers. He continues a red-hot day. Rogers at first, Hugo to third. And Ty Johnson makes it 4-1, a much-needed run. Just what was in store, just what Rogers drew up. So we return to the top of the order. Anthony Gallison is up, and that run can go a long way. Insurance run to make it 4-1. And Anthony Gallison will step in. Gallison sees a ball way outside, 1-0. Faulkner has struggled to throw strikes. Two outs. Faulkner will dig in, deliver the 1-0, up and away once again. Two balls and no strikes, so two outs. Rogers on first, Logan Hugo on third. 2-0 count here with two outs. Colts Neck, New Jersey native. See a strike today. Well, he sees a strike. Hasn't been able to get a hit. Grounded out three times and struck out looking on his fourth. So 2-1 here. Bottom eight. Swinging a ground ball over to Miguel. That pops over Miguel, getting home as Hugo. And an awkward hop that bounces right over Brady Miguel that drops into right field. And the Raptors up 5-1 here in the bottom of the eighth. Anthony Gallison, first hit of the day, is a successful one. So Rogers gets a third. Chris Conniff is now up. Raptors have out-hit the Rockers 10-7. Five unanswered hits. Up 5-1. The sidearm from Faulkner. The throw from Hernandez at second to Miguel. And tagging in time for the third out. Excuse me, that was to Cooper Kelly, the shortstop, and he's down. That's going to be the third out. So the Raptors get two runs here in the bottom of the eighth. They go up 5-1 as we head to the top of the ninth. Do the Raptors have three more outs in them to possibly extend their win streak to five? Find out next here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM.
You have been listening to Raptors Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Amber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app. Raptors Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit EdwardJones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC. You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petucation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
It's Blake Barker. Yeah, he's the pitcher. So now, a pitching change in store on the top of the ninth. Blake Barker will step in, and Barker is a guy that has been called upon in these moments out of Seton Hill University. That two games played, two innings pitched, and two strikeouts. He has a wicked arm. He's a left-hander. He's up in the count 0-1 on Kyler Zukowski, the left fielder. And the Creighton product, Madison, Wisconsin, Raptors, three outs away here. Barker will set and fire the 0-1 way inside. 1-1. So Barker called upon to get the Raptors another win here as they're up 5-1. Top of the ninth, Barker fires in and foul tipped on the left side. 1-2 now for Kyler Zukowski. Zukowski yesterday was 0-3 and struck out once and was walked as well. So we're seeing his first action today. The 1-2 fouled on the right side. So Barker, a guy that you just need in these moments, and he's got a big arm. He's got a big body as well, as he sets and fires the 1-2 way up outside.
2-2.
Two balls and two strikes. Barker will come in, set, and serve. Outside edge. The check swing from Zukowski didn't fully come across, so full count here. Ball came in at 93 miles per hour. Full count. Blake Barker sets, serves. 3-2 popped on the right side in foul territory. Rafters three outs away here from getting five wins, improving to 7-5. They were 2-5, remind you. A lot of questions were being asked. And it's early in the season, but this team showing signs as the full count. Swinging a fly ball into center field, running under it, and dropping before Ty Johnson can get there. So a leadoff single here for Kyler Zukowski. So Zukowski gets to first. And now this brings up Carlos Hernandez. Excuse me, Mateo Matthews. A first baseman out of Wagner College in Chino, California. So Matthews pinch hitting. And the left-hander, so some new faces here. We've seen this game as Barker fires in and Matthews fouls on the right side. So Matthews was 0-2 yesterday. He had one run, though, because he was walked twice, and he also struck out twice. Out of Wagner College, teammates with Chris Conniff. As Barker sets, serves the 0-1 outside for a ball, 1-1. Nick Barker got a big arm. He threw that at 91 miles per hour. Pinch hitting is Matthews. And check swing didn't go fully across. Two balls and a strike. Rafters lead 5-1, but they're just going to have to remain calm and get these three outs. Leading off is Zukowski at first. As the 2-1. Swinging a drive into right field, heading back towards the wall. This ball's gone. A two-run shot for Mateo Matthews. And now it's 5-3. The Green Bay Rockers get two back. And the Rafters are just going to have to stay calm here. Two-run shot for Matthews. And now only up two as we return to the top of the order. Brady Miguel. Barker's going to have to shake that one off. The Seton Hill product. Will come set. Foul tipped on the right side. 0-1. No balls a strike. 5-3. Rafters still lead, but a two-run shot here in the top of the ninth. Got to stay calm, and Barker serves the 0-1. Down low, 4-1, 1-1. A big shot there for Mateo Matthews. Sent that ball way behind the wall in the right field, the 1-1. Swinging a popped-up ball into shallow center. Getting under it is the shortstop, Garrett Broussard, for one out. So one down. Two away as, yeah, those two runs already showing how big they were in the bottom of the eighth. As they were 3-1 up and two big runs. And now, and you can see why, a two-run shot for Matthews. But it's still 5-3, one down. This brings up Cooper Kelly. Swing and a miss. Kelly went after it outside, 0-1. One down here for Barker. He will set, he will wind, and fire. Fouled on the right side. Out of the park, 0-2. Kelly has Had a great day. He's 2 for 3. 2 base hits and a flyout. The 0-2 up and away for a ball, 1-2. Rafters about hit the Rockers 10-8. Green Bay has committed an error as the 1-2 from Barker. Swinging a line drive right into the glove of Jack Gurevich for the second out. So 2 down, 1 away here in the top of the ninth. Rafters lead 5-3. So Brady Miguel in the top of the order. Barker sets in and a curveball. Fastball, excuse me, inside. That was 87. Ball went inside, so 1-0 count, 2 down, 1 away. So Miguel, the second baseman, the 1-0, painting the outside edge for strike 1-1. Rafter fans getting into it. The 1-1. Swing and a miss outside. 1-2 now. Barker one strike away from closing this thing out. Barker will come set. He digs in low. Now likes to pitch. Barker, the left-hander, kicks, winds, and fires inside for a ball. 2-2. One strike away. Rafters recording their fifth straight win, improving to 7-5. 7-5. Barker kicks, winds up, and fires outside edge for a ball. So 3-2 now, a full count. Came in at 93 miles per hour. Barker has a strong arm. Full count, 2 outs. Barker fires inside on the right edge, but that's going to take Miguel to first. And now this brings up JoJo Jackson for the tying run at the plate. And already given up a 2-run shot. In this inning, so Barker's just going to have to reset here. Leading off that first is Miguel. Barker digs in and fires. Jackson, a shallow ground ball over to Conniff. The scoop up in the glove. The throw to first, and that will do it. Rafters hold on. They win 5-3. And that's their fifth straight win right now. The Rats stay hot. They improve to 7-5. The Rockers fall to 6-6. And the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, something's brewing here in Wisconsin Rapids. Unbelievable game. Unable to finish it out. 2-run shot from Jack Gurevich. They were up 5-1, and then a 2-run shot on the top of the ninth from Mateo Matthews. But they hold on 5-3, out-hit the Rockers 10-8, and commit air-free baseball. And that's exactly what you can ask for if you're a Rafters fan. So the Rafters improved to 7-5. 5 straight wins, as tomorrow they will face and have a date with the Wausau Woodchucks. First pitch coming up at 6:05 tomorrow. But for myself, Joey Fear, for everybody at WFHR, saying so long from Winterfield. We'll see you tomorrow right back here. Good night, everybody.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's June Dairy Month. And though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Them, but the strange nature of going onto social media and saying, oh, I've been indicted, is a weird way to react to an indictment in any regard. I think it's a process that you are innocent until proven guilty, but our law enforcement agents have a responsibility to hold individuals accountable if laws are broken. And we are in the middle right now of seeing this process unfold.
Well, it's interesting, Luke. The Mar-a-Lago raid in particular, I think, is a prime example of what you just mentioned, where the Department of Justice played that pretty close to the chest. The only reason that the public really knew about it and the reason that it became a massive story was because Donald Trump himself promoted it on his social medias. He just seems unable to kind of keep his mouth shut in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if he, if it's the long history of being able to talk himself out of any situations. I was reading an article that earlier today that noted, you know, Trump has a very long history of having avoided legal culpability, both in his personal, professional, and political life. He settled a number of private civil lawsuits through the years, paid his way out of disputes concerning the Trump Organization. I mean, he was impeached twice by the Democratic-led House as president of the United States, but avoided conviction both times. The Justice Department's criminal investigation into the retention of classified information at Mar-a-Lago, as well as the attempts to overturn the 2020 election, has been now at the forefront of many people's minds for 3 years now. And, you know, the wheels of justice turn slowly, right? This kind of indictment could not happen overnight. I'm inclined to think that the evidence is likely pretty overwhelming to take this kind of step. And it's going to be really, really, really interesting to see how this plays out in the coming days, weeks, and months, because you noted this might be the story of the decade, right? I feel like we've been saying that for so many different stories over the past 4 to 5 years, where something happened and it's just like, wow, this is absolutely unprecedented. We're going to be talking about this for years. And then an even bigger story comes out a week later that just sweeps that first story under the rug. I've actually heard a lot of people in my circle kind of talk about how Donald Trump has used that as a strategy himself to avoid culpability, in that you can't pin him down for one bad thing that he did if everybody has moved on to the next bad thing that he did. And if you make it incrementally worse each and each time, there's never going to be one singular moment where it's like, oh my God, this is so egregious, something has to be done. Perhaps this is that moment. It reminds me of that quote where there are decades where weeks happen and weeks where decades happen, right? You look at yesterday, just mammoth news stories right in a row, the Supreme Court decision on racial gerrymandering, Donald Trump's indictment. And then we have all of this coming to a head now in the first week of June. We're sitting here on a beautiful Friday afternoon talking about what, in your words and in my opinion, very well might be the great story of the year, if not longer. If you have thoughts to share on the Donald Trump indictment, please give us a call at 844-967-2789. We're continuing this conversation as it, again, we cannot understate just how massive, massive, massive this story is, particularly because, Luke, keep in mind that Donald Trump is currently the front runner for 2024. He is leading in virtually all polling for the Republican primary. Could this impact the presidential race? Do you think this is going to have potentially sway the minds of conservative primary voters? Or do you think this might rally them, kind of confirm a lot of the ideas that they had had that, again, Donald Trump had been promoting, that this is a witch hunt, that I'm innocent? I mean, he even released a video last night, a 4-minute video on social media, of course, saying that the Department of Justice is being weaponized. The investigations against him are election interference. He said, and I quote, "I am an innocent man. I did nothing wrong," unquote. 2024 is coming and it's coming fast. What are the ramifications that we could see for this race based on the Trump indictments that were announced?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is outside of polling, we're not going to see anything until Iowa caucus goers go to their libraries, their town halls, and where they caucus come the end of January, beginning of February of next year. That's the true time point when we are going to see what all of this buildup of the legal ramifications of Donald Trump's with this indictment announcement yesterday. That's the first time we're going to see the actual political ramifications of it. It's not going to be until Republican primary voters go to their caucuses and their polling places to show their indication of whether or not this is a big deal to them. So between now and 6-7 months from now, we're not going to get to see a whole lot of the political ramifications. It's going to be Republican primary voters that will determine those, Will. And so it's going to be an interesting aspect of seeing, as it is important to point out, there were state charges brought against the former president in New York earlier this year. There are other ongoing legal concerns, I would say, that the former president has to be keeping an eye on. There is a grand jury in Georgia that the district attorney there in Fulton County has indicated they may be gathering for recommendations of charges this summer. So there's a lot going on here in 2023. It's going to be interesting to see, but a while to see, how Republican primary voters react to this news. And that's not going to be until early 2024.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it. There are so many cases coming through at this point. There's Georgia, there's New York. It just seems like it's one after another. And I think you touched on the crux of it. And I'll give you, I like to give credit where credit is due, Luke, that this is the point that you made ripping on me, because it's a point that I usually make, in that the vast majority of American political issues come down to accountability. Nobody wants to be held responsible for their mistakes. Everybody wants to push the blame onto somebody else. Everybody wants to be beyond repercussions. And in this particular example might be the best one we have seen yet, where do you draw the line? What is and is not allowed from an individual? We're going to touch on that after the break and get some more reactions, both from the listeners of Wisconsin and pundits at the national level. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three
part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 56. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 79. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 49. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 76.
Breaking rocks in a hot sun. I fall for law in a low one. I fall for law in a low one. I need
Welcome. Welcome, Juan. Welcome, all. Welcome back. This is Town Call. I'm William Walter, joined by Luke Mathers. If you want to share a thought on the Donald Trump indictment with us today, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can be like Jeannie from Eau Claire. Jeannie, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump indictment?
Well, guys, I don't know how coherent I am this morning, but I was very relieved and hoping, you know, and maybe have some solace that maybe somebody's going to hold this guy accountable, you know, after watching all the crimes that he's committed and throughout his life and while our president and after. I'm hoping that everything goes well, and I'm hoping that people with the R after their name wake up at what they have. This is the most important, arrest or indictment that I've ever seen in my life. And while I was at the university, I started on my 17th birthday and graduated early from high school. My roommates at Eau Claire, they had the broom slate, and they were very active in trying to hold Nixon accountable for his crimes. So this makes Nixon look like a little baby crime compared to all of the crimes and all of the uproar and division and, you know, his obstruction. And his, it's unbelievable to me that he's still walking free. But one thing I want to say is he couldn't have did this alone. If it was just Trump doing this and people, you know, were honest and had integrity and believed in the rule of law, he never would have gotten this far. So I'm hoping if there is any integrity left in those who are serving us that have an R after their name, that they need to stop the BS and saying that this is a witch hunt, because they know darn well what he did, and in fact, a lot of them aided and abetted. So that's my 2 cents worth, guys. Thank you so much for taking up this subject, and you have a good day.
Oh, thanks, Jeannie. You as well. Now, that's a really interesting point that you brought up, because we are already seeing a number of Trump's allies rallying to his defense. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy tweeted that it was, quote, a dark day for the United States of America, unquote. It is unconscionable for a president to indict the leading candidate opposing him. Joe Biden kept classified documents for decades. The radical far left will stop at nothing to interfere with the 2024 election in order to prop up the catastrophic presidency and desperate campaign of Joe Biden, from Elise Stefanik, a New York Republican and the House GOP conference chairwoman. Jim Jordan said, sad day for America. God bless President Trump. You're exactly right, Jeannie. The keys to power are not held by one individual's hands. It takes a number of people to allow, to protect, to defend someone at this level with you know, so many criminally liable behavior having occurred, that you can't get away with this by yourself. Now, I will note that there are other Republican rivals who have taken the opposite approach and have been openly critical of Donald Trump. People like former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, who put out a statement saying that Trump has become a distraction and should end his campaign. Mike Pence, the former vice president, said that, quote, anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States, unquote. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who said during his kickoff event in New Hampshire last week that Trump is, quote, obsessed with the mirror, never admits a mistake, never admits a fault, and always finds someone else and something else to blame for whatever goes wrong, but finds every reason to take credit for anything that goes right, unquote.
Well, I think
it comes back to what we talked about earlier, right? Accountability.
It's important to note, though, that all three of those men that you just quoted are running against him in the contest to see who will be the nominee for the Republican Party in 2024. And so it seems like only the primary challengers, the Republican primary challengers in that presidential bid, are the ones criticizing the actions surrounding this indictment. It's going to be interesting to see. Law enforcement officials are already planning on a court appearance by the former president in Miami next week. And again, it's unprecedented. This gets talked about. No, normally, if you get indicted, you're not going out and airing your grievances in public. But apparently, this is what we're going to be talking about now until that court hearing, because the former president wanted his grievances to be heard, and it seems like he would rather have this be discussed in the court of public opinion that rather than the court of law.
Great point, Luke. Yeah, I mean, Trump himself said on social media that he has been ordered to report to the federal courthouse in Miami next Tuesday. Now, Miami is part of the federal district that includes Palm Beach, where Mar-a-Lago is located. It's possible Trump could face further charges in D.C., where the documents investigation led by Special Counsel Jack Smith has been based. However, it's looking like it's more likely to be Miami right now. And Luke, you had an interesting point before the show on what this could mean. Could you?
Well, already what we learned so far this morning, with further legal documents coming out of the federal court where this will be heard, Reuters is reporting that the Trump-appointed judge is going to preside over the initial court appearance next week. The same court-appointed judge that reviewed the original classified documents case and appointed a special master, which was then overturned on appeal. And so Elaine Cannon, I want to say it's either Eileen or Elaine, I don't know for certain, and I apologize, Ms. Cannon, but that federal judge is who is going to be overhearing this case as it gets brought before the federal judiciary.
Excellent point, Luke. So I'd like to hear from the people of Wisconsin, what are your thoughts on the Donald Trump indictment? Please give us a call, 844-967-2789, and you can be like Joe from Madison. Joe, former president was just indicted. What are your thoughts?
Great. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. I know, Luke, that your heart is firmly wedded to the importance of tangents, and I am all about tangents as giving a fuller context to things. I find it kind of amazing that one of Mr. Trump's lawyers, Jim Trusty, who had said in very belligerent, fighting tones yesterday to the government, if they want to continue to play games, they're going to give it to us at 3:01 on Tuesday. Well, Mr. Trusty and another lawyer representing Trump, John Rowley, I believe is his name, both resigned, tendered their resignations this morning. And I thought, whoa, that's an interesting little sidebar, isn't it? And I couldn't find out what reasons were given for them to tender their resignations, and I know this happens, but I found it kind of amazing that, you know, they were slinging hard yesterday and out of the game as of this morning, which I found just fascinating. And in terms of your the question of what are other Republicans going to say about this, I did find, I was reading one article that said that they're going to perhaps try to sell it as that Trump was just a really bad file clerk. And I thought, wow, that's nervy. Let's see if that happens. So anyway, I would be fascinated to find out why Mr. Trusty decided to leave the building along with John Rowling and tendered his resignation. Is he tied up with other cases? Does he think it's a no-go? Anyway, so that's a tangent I'd love to see picked apart in the next weeks. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, you guys.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Of course. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see. We'll have to wait and see. That's we don't know exactly how this is going to play out. I think, Luke, an interesting tangent that you just brought up was, is Donald Trump trying to play this out in the court of public opinion rather than the criminal justice, criminal justice court, because he recognizes that his case is weak? Or is it because he just thinks that the public is going to naturally side with him? Is it a case of narcissism, as Chris Christie says, that he's unable to look in a mirror and see any of his own faults or take responsibility for anything? Is it that he's throwing anything at a wall to see what sticks? I mean, this is kind of unprecedented in more ways than one. As you touched on, very few people will come out and say, oh, yeah, I got indicted. Like, oh, bummer. Let's see what we can do about it. Let's see if we can figure it out. But Donald Trump has kind of made his entire political career based on what the public, his voters, his fans, let's say, believe about him. Even after the news Thursday evening, Trump began immediately fundraising, issuing an email appeal to donors under the heading Breaking indicted, where he, of course, railed against the charges, rebuked the Justice Department, but said things like, I never thought it possible that such a thing could happen to a former president of the United States. I am an innocent man, using this as an effort to try to generate more funds for his upcoming 2024 presidential race. Is this just a master of modern media who has figured out a way to really avoid all responsibility and accountability because he is able to have such a fervent base of supporters regardless of what he does and says?
We're watching it unfold right now. I don't know. It's going to be a test to see how broad that base of support that he has amongst the Republican primary voters, because ultimately that's going to be where we see the political accountability. As I've already noted, we're not going to see any of that until voters go to the caucuses and then go to the polls 7 months from now. And so it's going to be some time before we get to see that. So it is a lot of sitting and waiting. As you noted, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but the political cycles go this far out pretty slowly too. Like, it's hard to believe we're already in the 2024 cycle, but voters don't actually get to the polls before that. I'll have to look up the Iowa caucus date. I want to say it's the end of January, beginning of February of 2024.
Mm-hmm. So we do have a little bit of time, but again, it'll be here before you know it. We've talked over the past couple of months how Wisconsin election cycles never seem to end, as we have special elections after special elections, after race after race after race. We talked about it over the past week, whether or not there are too many elections. Should we be allowing more of the of a pure democratic process, or should we defer to our elected officials? Well, here is a situation where an elected official has, according to the Department of Justice, clearly broken the law in numerous different ways. And are they, I guess the question then becomes, are they above the law? Is anybody above the law? Or is your status as former president, you know, leader of the free world, elected commander-in-chief of the United States government, does that make you untouchable? And I think that's a conversation that a lot of people are going to start needing to have with their friends, their family, their loved ones, because I think there is a subset of the population who, regardless of what the Department of Justice says occurred, despite what proof the Department of Justice may or may not have, they are going to believe that the Department of Justice is either falsifying or making up information or bending context to try to paint Donald Trump in a bad picture so that they can get him, whether that's because of the deep state or Joe Biden or whatever argument you might want, you might hear from this. It's an argument that I've heard presented quite a few different ways. And at the end of the day, it comes down to whether or not any individual, not just Donald Trump, any American citizen has to follow the rule of law in the same way that the rest of us do.
Well, the country had the opportunity to hold a chief executive liable for potential crimes committed, and in decades ago, the country chose instead, the political leadership instead had Nixon resign and then pardoned him, and they kind of did away with these questions throughout the 70s. It just got, oh, we're going to sweep this under the rug, hope it never happens again. And now we as a nation are facing these questions again, because ultimately we find ourselves as a nation that is now asking the question, do we hold our political figures, if they are the president or anybody, accountable for crimes and wrongdoing that they may have committed? And so when these charges get unsealed and we continue to see this legal picture that's developing now in federal court down in Florida, it's going to be an interesting next step to keep an eye on of what comes next.
And we will certainly be keeping an eye on that. We will be discussing that, and we would love to hear your thoughts on that every single day on Town Call. If you'd like to participate in the forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got a fun segment coming after the break, Luke. We're going to start a new tradition that I came up with totally on my own with no assistance whatsoever from anyone in the world, especially not Luke, called Wisconsin Headline Fridays. We want to hear your best Wisconsin headline of the week. Please stick with us after the break.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR.
Wisconsin Rapids.
Currently, it's 73 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
Back. This is Town Call with William Walter and Luke Mathers on this wonderful Friday, June 9th afternoon. And Luke, we touched on it before the break. I'm trying to start a new tradition around here with an idea that I came up with, again, totally by myself, with no help whatsoever and had nothing to do with you. We're going to be looking for the best Wisconsin headlines that you can find throughout the course of the week. And we want to talk about it on Friday. So if you have a great Wisconsin headline or you think something that just screams, this is Wisconsin, please give us a call. Share it with us, 844-967-2789. I am proud to announce that I defeated Mr. Luke Mathers in rock, paper, scissors over the commercial break, which earned the right to share my Wisconsin headline of the week first. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that this is going to be our champion headline, and I did not want to give you the opportunity to swoop in front of me and steal it. So I'm reading from a piece at Fox 6 Milwaukee, Get Paid to Eat Cheese, University of Wisconsin Hiring Cheese Taste Testers. I will note that I found this article after Googling it right before the show started because I had the source material, a job offer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, descriptive sensory panelist. The job summary states, the Center for Dairy Research is looking for individuals passionate about all types of food, but especially cheese, pizza, and other dairy products. Once hired, you will be trained to become part of a group of expert tasters capable of verbally describing their sensory experiences on the basis of appearance, texture, taste, and aroma attributes for research and product development purposes. Analysts should expect to be tasting up to 24 cheese samples and 12 pizzas a week, along with other food products. Now, Luke, a job description doesn't necessarily qualify for a great Wisconsin headline of the week, so I am glad I found this piece at Fox 6, but this can't be defeated, right? This has to be our champion. What is more Wisconsin than, hey, do you want to come eat cheese and we're going to pay you for it?
I'm searching my likes because I'm pretty sure I shared this story on Twitter 4 days ago, and this was my positive. I had two entries. I did my homework. Well,
my article was published June 8th, so that is inaccurate.
No. I shared the details of the job posting when the job posting started earlier this week, and I said, boy, that's a good job. And so this was my positive. I went in two directions with my homework. I found a great reason to be a Wisconsin in the headlines and a not so great Wisconsin kind of attribute that our state has in the second headline. So, yes, I did see this job posting. I did see this being used as a news story at several different outlets around the state today and yesterday.
Have you considered being better at rock, paper, scissors? And perhaps you could have presented
it's a chance
yourself.
Of, what do you got, a 33% chance of winning? Now, I guess you could draw, so stop it. Like, it was...
I'm not a mathematician, Luke, but I am a champion rock, paper, scissors player. I'll teach you in the future. Let's see your headline. What do you got for me?
Hang on. I'm real quick. I'm looking for my I have to check the notes to see where what day I liked this because I'm telling you, I saw it already.
I believe you, Luke. It's here.
Yes.
I just think you need to get better at elementary school games.
Yeah. I don't think it's an elementary school one. I think that's a classic one. If you've got a most Wisconsin headline of the week, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. Can it beat Will's Get Paid to Eat Cheese? Or could it beat mine, which I saw earlier in the week? And it's kind of just a depressing headline, really, because this was just one police department in southern Wisconsin that had this. But unfortunately, it just seems like this is a problem we as Wisconsin continue to have. Mine is over at the State Journal, the Wisconsin State Journal, with the headline, Janesville police make 5 OWI arrests overnight, including a 6th and 5th offense. So just the city of Janesville, Wednesday night into Thursday morning, arresting 5 individuals for operating while intoxicated. And that is just a very Wisconsin headline if I've ever seen one. It just pops up far too frequently, unfortunately. Folks, drink responsibly. Do not get behind the wheel, especially when it finds out, oh, your 5th and 6th offense for 2 of those individuals arrested in Chainsville on Wednesday night.
Inexcusable. I wish we had kind of just stuck in with the cheese now, because that's...
Well, I told you, I had 2 directions to go with my most Wisconsin headlines of the week, and you stole the thunderous great one, so I had to share the depressing sad one.
Again, I will reiterate, Luke, get good. That's my answer to that.
I think you just found it because you follow me on Twitter. I think that's really just what it comes down to. I think this popped up on your feed because you follow me.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I did see a friend post it on Facebook, actually. So it was not from you, but I did not find it myself. I will admit that.
Oh, okay. Not only a plagiarist when it comes to your cheese stories, you're a plagiarist when it comes to your most Wisconsin headline of the week segments, too.
Well, but I didn't steal it from you, and that's all that really matters to me.
You didn't steal both of them from me. That's all.
I don't like you use when I say rock, paper, scissors as an elementary game, I say that with love, in that children figured out the best way to decide how to handle our differences. I don't want to flip a coin. I want a skill-based challenge, something that I can consistently defeat someone like Luke at, because he is just not good at rock, paper, scissors. So
I don't think you can say that you consistently beat me at it when we've only done 1 edition of rock, paper, scissors either.
Is a 100% victory rate, okay? I am undefeated against you. Right before we end the break, I want to get to one last call. We got Ross from Middleton on the line. Ross, what's on your mind today on this Friday afternoon?
Hey, guys. So the Trump indictment, many of us on the left-wing side know he's guilty. People on the right-hand side, the Trumpers, believe it's a conspiracy witch hunt. The challenge, I think, is getting at these people who don't pay attention to the news, and I think that the Trump and the Trumpers are slowly eroding our faith in the FBI and the Justice Department, all those kind of things. They sort of feel like it's all biased. And if the challenge is do they feel like, you know what, maybe our justice system, maybe the whole country is just too political and they don't want to pay attention. The thing that I'm thinking is I would rather have Biden run against Trump. If Trump gets blown out by this indictment, then he also maybe gets knocked out of the primary. Then he's looking at running against DeSantis or somebody else. And then I think he becomes more vulnerable. And then the last thing is I worry about third parties coming in, and I think they're going to blow the whole thing wide open. So it's just, I look at it from the point of view of how can we win the presidency, but yeah, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good point, Ross. And that's something that we're going to find out in the coming days, weeks, and months. Like we said, it's a long process and the wheels of justice turn slow, but the national ramifications across innumerable different fronts, it's going to make a difference. It's going to be massive. This is a case that we are going to continue to see in the headlines going forward. So we've had a wonderful, wonderful first week with everyone. It was so much fun to join you on Town Call. If you'd like to participate next week, we would love to have you. Please don't hesitate to give us a call, 844-967-2789. Luke, it's always great to see you. Aaron, thanks so much for being here. I hope the 2 of you and all of Wisconsin have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Talk to y'all then.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 90.